Good morning. I'll be reading from Exodus, the sixth chapter, the first to the eighth verse. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those who have gathered here to worship. We thank you for the messenger you brought back safely from abroad and his mission. We ask you now in the name of Jesus you would bless us today and you'd strengthen us and make us more committed to your mission here on earth and the time that we have, because we don't have forever to accomplish it. Make us all that you had created us to be and make us the Christians that we should be in today's world. In the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
One day, as usual, Moses was minding his own business. He was running his business, and he took his business where he always did. His flocks and his business were doing so good, so well. He saw a burning bush all of a sudden. He saw a fire and he was surprised. Who started the fire? What is the meaning of this fire? And he paid attention and then he heard a voice. God was speaking to him. God spoke to him from within the burning bush. "The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.'" Moses had a comfortable life. But God had other plans for him. Moses, for about 40 years, had started his business. For 40 years, God prepared him as a prince. And then for 40 years, he ran his business, and his business was doing well. He was comfortable. He had his family. He was established, and he had no thoughts of leading any nation, any country. He had no thoughts of becoming the leader, the greatest leader that the Jews ever saw or had. And he had nothing, and he did not ask for anything. And yet, God had other plans for him. Moses protested and even argued with God for asking him to go to Pharaoh. He gave God all kinds of excuses for not wanting to go where God was asking him to go. God said to Moses, "I will help you speak and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Have you ever asked someone to do something for you and the person said, well, ask someone else to do it? Have you ever been asked by God or someone to do something and you said, no, I can't do it. I'm too busy. I'm running my business. I'm running my family. I'm running this. I'm running that. And Moses was right. He was a very busy man. He had his family to look after. And yet God insisted and God said, I have a mission for you, Moses. You can still have your family. You can still enjoy all the good things I have given you. But then there will come a time that I will take care of you completely. Finally, God said to Moses to take his brother Aaron with him, and God promised him that he would help them speak and do what he wanted them to do. In chapter 5, we see Moses and Aaron appearing before Pharaoh and saying, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, let my people go. Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh refuses to let the people go and insisted, instead he orders the slave drivers to make the work harder and make life unbearable for them. Now Moses is in real trouble. Not only Pharaoh is angry with him, but even his own people have turned against him. Sometimes when God is preparing something for us and when we resist and we finally give in half-heartedly, we get into trouble. I mean, look at Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to save us, to get us out of bondage, to get us out of Egypt, if you wish. And instead we complain, and the people complained and rejected him, and they killed him, they crucified him. Moses returned to God and said, O Lord, what have you brought upon me? You brought trouble upon these people. Moses is ready now to give up. But God renews his pledge to deliver them from slavery. Now let's look at some things that God promised and did. God cares when we are in trouble. God cares when you are in trouble. In verse 6, God cares about our burdens, we see. He said, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Please notice the seven I wills in verses 6 to 8. I will is a promise for hurting times. God knows our troubles and pain. I will, he says, and we say when. He says, I will, and we say, how will that happen? He says, I will, and we say, yes, I tried, but we always argue with God. God said to Moses, I will help you get your people out of bondage, out of Egypt, into the promised land, and Moses says, I'm too old. Moses said, I'm too busy. Moses said, I stutter, I don't speak well. Many of us will say, well, my English is not good, I don't speak well. When I went to Armenia and I stood before the people to speak, I had three excuses why they should forgive me for poor performance. I said, first of all, I am the pastor of an Anglophone church. I have not been practicing my Armenian much. And then I said, your culture and my culture are different, although we are Armenian, so maybe the way I think. And then I said, the Armenian I speak is different than yours. These were all excuses because people came to me and said, those were excuses, we understand. I understood you very well. When God does something, when God calls us for something, he promises to be there and help us do it. God knows our troubles and pain. This morning I was talking with someone with a lot of pain, and yet that pain is forgotten, or at least it's not as important as when we look at someone else suffering even more and being in more pain than we are. God knows our pain. God knows our suffering. God saw the Egyptians mistreating the Jews, and He did something for them. The call for freedom brought extra labor and burdens instead of freedom for the Jews. Making bricks without straw, the king said, or the authorities said, "Oh well, you want to complain? You want to get out of this? I'll show you. Now you find your own straw and you build the bricks even better than before, or else I'll be teaching you a lesson." And the Israelites started suffering even more. He gives grace to help us when we are in trouble. They were beaten by the slave drivers, and they were suffering. Your burdens are important to God. Bring your burdens before His throne. He gives help and grace to help us in time of need. In Hebrews 4:16 we read, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Well, this is very easy to listen to, and yet it's very difficult to put into practice. And it's easy for me to say, God is going to help you, God is going to strengthen you, God is going to give you wisdom, God is going to heal you, God is going to take away the pain. And yet when it's my turn now to go through this suffering and trouble and pain, I have to put into practice what I've been talking to others and teaching others. And sometimes the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh sometimes gives in to the temptation to groan and to suffer, to complain and suffer, not silently, but everyone else to hear about our suffering. First, I said, God cares about our burden. Secondly, in verse 6, we see God cares about our bondage. We have burdens, and there are bondages. "I will free you from being slaves," God said. What is the difference between burdens and bondage? Think about it for a moment. Burden and bondage. Burden and bondage. There's a difference. Burdens are concerns, cares, problems that we carry. Bondage is to be controlled by a person or substance. Bondage. I may be slave to pride. I may be slave to food. I may be a slave to drinking. I may be a slave to drugs. I may be a slave to gambling. I may be a slave to sexual immorality. I may be a slave of all kinds of other things. That's being a slave, to be bound by these things. But to be burdened, sometimes that burden is not placed. It's not our fault to have that burden. There may be a sick person in the family. There may be unsaved people in the family that you've been praying for, or a situation where you are unemployed and it's not your fault. You've been looking for these are. So God has promised to the Jews, and promises today that He will help us with both. What controls you is important to know. Alcohol, drugs, pleasure, money, a temper that brings you grief, fears that limit your usefulness. Now, anger. You may say, well, I do get angry from sometimes. I think everyone gets angry. Even Jesus was angry when He went to the temple to worship, to pray, and He saw all these hypocrites and money changers turning the house of prayer into a business place. He was angry. And he showed his anger. And yet, there are some things that we have no control over, and this anger, we manifest that anger with real anger and sin instead of being willing to deal with that, with God's help. Fears that limit your usefulness. I believe that some of the fears that I experienced before I went to the mission were unfounded, because I'm a human being and I was looking at the situation, and I was looking at my age, and I was looking at the difficulties, and I was sort of... But when God led Moses to go and become the leader of this nation, rebellious nation, he also gave him the strength to deal with that situation. Number three, God cares about our freedom. First was our burdens. God cares about our burdens. Second is God cares about our bondage. And third is God cares about our freedom. Now you say, boy, that sounds good, freedom. I will redeem you, he said. The Greek word is literosi. Literosi is the word. And he says, I will get you out of slavery. You'll be free. Literacy means redemption, liberation, setting free. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been set free from our sinful past. Jesus came to set us free, and he said, and you'll be free. Your faith will set you free. We are or can be set free by Jesus's blood and through the scriptures. And we read in John 8:36, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set free by the Savior. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Set free by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, we read, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Of course, that freedom has been abused and is still being abused. I've heard people say, well, Pastor, the Bible says, I am now liberated from the past and I have been set free, and now when I do something that is wrong and it's not according to the Bible, it could be the flesh doing it because the spirit now is free. But the Bible says just the contrary. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. That means be clean as I am clean. And that freedom cannot be abused. We are free from sinfulness. If we follow Christ, we are free from addictions that we've been addicted to. We are free from our past, and we have been forgiven, and yet we must follow Christ. Number four, God cares about our fellowship. First, God cares about our burdens, our bondage, our freedom. And number four, God cares about our fellowship. He said in verse 7, I'll take you as my own people. I will take you as my own people. God would have fellowship with them and would be their God. God has promised to have fellowship with those who gather together in his name. He would provide all their needs then, and he still does provide for all our needs today. Verse 7 said, I will be your God. Number 5, God cares about our future. Verse 8 says, I will bring you to the land, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. God keeps his promises. The promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were kept. Our inheritance is guaranteed too. In First Peter 1:4, we read, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Let God lift your burdens today. Come to Christ in faith, because He cares when you are in trouble. He cares about your burden. He cares about your freedom. He cares about your relationship with Him. He cares about your future in eternity. He is a loving and caring God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are a loving and compassionate God. You love us so much that You sent Your one and only Son to die on the cross for our salvation. You have forgiven our sins, and You have given us a new life. And You want us now to rejoice and enjoy this new life in this journey, in this spiritual journey. But Lord, You want us to trust You and be obedient to Your will. For that, we need Your help. Please help each one of us this morning. And may the Holy Spirit revive each one of us and strengthen us and help us to walk this on this earth, this journey, knowing that You are always there to protect us. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.